Hey, Barton.
How are you today?
Doing good, Barton. Been very busy since I got off of this probation. I can, you know, be back working on the farm.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine. You've got your hands full, that's for sure.
I sure do. And going over all of the destruction on the birds and just a lot going on, so, but I'm glad what's back is back, and I'm glad to be back out doing what I enjoy, Barton. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad to see it. So, so what's new?
So, we got a lot actually going on. I've been working, as you know, Barton, I've been working with, you know, different organizations, and I've been trying to write all the wrongs, you know, that happened in my case and with my foul, particularly with my foul. So as of right now, we've been working with our agricultural departments, and I say departments because, man, I didn't realize how many there are just in one state, you know. So
really?
I'm working on you know, it's county by county, you know, something you and I have discussed before. And what I've been able to educate these people on is the fact that these, you know, these animal rights laws that have been put into place, they really have the cards stacked against us in a dangerous way. What I've been working on right now is on the importance of the dubbing of game fowl. And, you know, it's something that's been in practice ever since we've had poultry shows, you know. And what's happening is the animal rights organizations, bought, and what they're doing is they're using this dubbing to get search warrants like they did in my case. And what's happening and why this is so dangerous is because when they come at a person, most likely, more than likely, the people are going to take a plea deal because they're not going to want to take it to court. They're not going to want to, you know, fight it. And what happens is it makes the situation much worse for the next person. So,
absolutely.
And it just, and what it does is it makes the poor people look even more guilty, you know, but the reality is it has nothing to do with the guilt. What it comes down to is that people really want to spend years in fighting and doing what my wife and I have done. Chances are very slim. So that's what I've been up to, Barton. I've been just, working on these things and working with different doctors actually in agriculture, which I kind of find, you know, kind of funny, you know. You know, we take for granted when we've grown up on working farms that, you know, we learn a lot by, observation is really how we learn. But when you're living on a farm, any type of farm, you're getting an education if you're paying attention.
You are absolutely right. Without the everyday American having this knowledge, it can't get any better until people start getting that education and realizing, you know, the bold-faced lies that are being told.
Yeah, it's, you know, it all comes down to these organizations and the money that they're making. And it really is sad that that's what's happening in America today, that it's the person with the deeper pockets that's getting justice. And,
yeah,
you know, at the end of the day, the law does apply to everybody, Barton. It does. It's just you have to get your day in court, and you really want to hope to God you have good counsel and good lawyers. As we found out in my case, you know, it wasn't for a while into it that we got the good counsel and the good lawyers, and then we started to see things turn around. And, you know, so we just have to keep at it. It's definitely a lot of learning. So.
You were able to get that knowledge quickly and correct it, and you're headed on the right path now. And, you know, the best lessons learned are the hard ones.
No, that's absolutely correct, Barton. And educating, you know, the people in our community, in the GameFowl community, has been something that I've been really taking on as, you know, I'm obligated to this now. Like I'd mentioned to you before, when they come in on a family, and they do the things that were done here, I think you'd be less than a man to just want that swept under the rug just so the next guy can, you know, get mistreated. I would call that less than a man. So I'm kind of enjoying. I'm enjoying the being able to teach, being able to educate people. I'm looking forward to supporting somebody over in the Virginia area in court. You know, because the biggest thing is, you know, the first and most important is the education. But then there comes the practical, the nuts and bolts, when people just need support. Some people, there's financial need. I've needed financial help the whole way. And, you know, it's something that you just have to, you know, get it right, you know, as far as that it's not going to be an easy ordeal whenever you're going against the system. So I'm glad we are where we are, you know. I'm glad we are where we are, Barton. And I've gotten a lot of great feedback about what we're doing. And
I think you're really pioneering, really blazing a trail for the rest of the GameFowl community. Because really, until you came along, it had gotten to be just an accepted fact that there was no fighting it. At least as a group mentality, that there was no fighting it, that your best shot was just to you know, duck and try and get out of it as quick as possible. And I think that you've really shown that that's not the case, that you can fight it and there is something that you can do.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the biggest things that you can take away from your situation. Is that you don't have to take it.
Yeah. And you know what? What's even beyond that is, you know, I'm starting to really find my purpose in this, which is really kind of, you know, it's cool. It's I'm really finding my purpose in all of this, and it's fulfilling. You know, there's probably nothing that a person would want to do with his life, in my opinion of it, is, you know, greater than fulfilling the purpose that, you know, you have in life. So
absolutely.
For me, I'm really fulfilling a purpose. I was laughing with my wife last week, Barton, about, you know, when I was a little kid taking these game chickens to school. And, you know, kids like, what the heck is this guy? I'm a little guy, but, you know, sixth grade, bringing game chickens, you know, in Long Island when, you know, it wasn't even then, you know, farming and all that. I didn't grow up in that type of an area. But, you know, it's kind of interesting because you really got to hold to it. You got to hold to it. And you can't back down. You can't punk up. You can't be a dunghill. At the end of the day, you just can't be a dunghill. Because if you allow that to happen, it doesn't just affect you. It doesn't just affect friends and family. It affects the animals that you're raising. And for me, Barton, what's always been very difficult to understand is how these large animal rights organizations get these laws passed against animal owners. In our case, it's even harder to understand because we're from farming backgrounds. And I, years ago when I was the president of New York, I had put out a reward. And it was $5,000 on any animal rights person that grew up on a working farm. It don't exist. That's why I did it. It don't exist. And if it did, nobody ever came forward. Yeah. Yeah, but this, but they've been given this power, you know, and it's horror when you experience, you know, the reality of how far they've gotten. So.
Yeah. It's really sad that people can be guided by somebody that doesn't even know what they're actually talking about, but claim to be professionals.
Well, I got to experience it firsthand, and I'm not going to let that opportunity pass me by because I learned a lot to be a help to people. In my trial, they had a supposed expert witness that we had taken down as for his opinion. But, you know, they come in like they are that expert, and they're the furthest thing from an expert. So.
No, no. They read from a script, and as long as they can abide by that script, they're fine. They sound like they have a logical argument, and the second that they have to stray from that script, they lose it. And nobody has really challenged that script. And I hope that we're able to start doing that in the future with some of these guests that that we've talked about getting on the show.
Yes, I'm looking forward to Anthony Seville next week, Barton. That's huge, huge. You know. That man's record in the game fowl world, and you know when he had testified on our behalf at the federal court, I couldn't have had a better person there. It just couldn't have had a better person there. So
that's great. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to hearing what he has to say.
Yeah, he actually Anthony. Has actually been really about this. I've known Anthony for just about 20 years. And when I had first met Anthony, it was at his home. I was just coming out of Georgia and I was just visiting with Mr. Harvey, and I had gotten some of his blue face chickens, and I had stopped on my way home and met with Anthony. And I was very, impressed with Anthony because he had a real concern for the game fowl and the community. And I remember one of the things he said, and I never forgot this. And he said, Tommy, he said, if we don't protect these birds, he says, who will? And I leave that with everybody that listens to these podcasts. You know, we do have a responsibility. I've heard people say, you know, I wouldn't go to jail. Well, you might not have to go to jail over them. I hope nobody does. But the fact that that's even a possible consequence to owning them really should speak volumes to people, Bob.
It really should. I don't think that people realize the history. But, you know, my white hackles, your white hackles, you know, they can be traced back to the 1800s. And every man and woman's hands that they've been through can be accounted for.
Yes.
And you've got to think of that in terms of these chickens were around during times in history when people couldn't even feed themselves.
Yep.
the Civil War, the Great Depression, World War One and Two, you know, every major war in American history. And these chickens made it 160 years to be told by somebody that's never lived on a farm, worked on a farm, that their time is up, that this is the end of the road for them. That doesn't sit right with me.
No, me neither, Barton. And many, many people, many of us are, you know, are understanding that. And I completely agree with you. And just keep in mind, you know, even that 160, that 200 years, you know, that's a drop in the bucket, Barton. You know, they've been around, dated, recorded history before the days of Christ. Recorded history. And like we've touched on before, there's always been this up and down with game fowl. You know, there's always has been. And they always come back. And I believe that...
They never leave.
No. And I believe that what we're doing and the movements that we've been involved in, I believe it's going to go somewhere that is going to just keep them going. And I'm just glad to be a part of it. It's humbling to be a part of what's to come in you know, some years ahead here.
Absolutely. Yeah, me too. It's really just a shame that, like you said, it's ups and downs. There's always points in our culture where, you know, they've been frowned upon, then they've been put on a pedestal, and then they've been frowned upon and put back on the pedestal. And it's about time they get put back on that pedestal.
I agree, Barton. You know, when the days of cockfighting was legal, and it was legal, it was legal big time. And when it was, you know, people were very secretive to the way things were done. And, you know, for good reason, you know, people, it's kind of like it's like a trade, you know, and people didn't want too much out there. And then when we started getting the animal rights activists, the movement started coming in, and, you know, they don't start out, Barton, they don't start out telling you they're going to eradicate game fowl. They do it a little bit at a time. I think they call it a death by a thousand cuts. And then they say, well, just let us do this much and then we'll be okay, you know, until the next bill comes. And then you find out, you know, the whole thing is it's an agenda. The whole thing, it's an agenda. And, you know, that's the issue where we're at today, because I can promise you the forefathers of this country and many others would be rolling, if there was such a thing, in their graves over people actually it being even a thought that somebody could do time in federal prison over any animal, period. Yeah. It's just it's a wake up call.
Yeah, it is. It could have happened to really any group. You know, during this time, they were trying to figure out which group to go after to really get the ball rolling on these animal rights organizations and really get the money coming in, and they settled on cockfighters first. But what if the shoe was on the other foot and they had decided that rodeo was an easy target?
Yeah.
We could be sitting here right now talking about underground rodeo and the rights of people to raise their rough stock. We could be having this same conversation having to do with rodeo and rodeo animals. And they could be raiding farms that farmers are just trying to keep their animals alive in the hope that things change in the future, and saying that they participate in underground rodeo by just having these animals. For the average person, that sounds absolutely ridiculous.
I think that's where things would be going if people like ourselves didn't step up, and others. We're going to be seeing a lot of other people step up behind this, and like we've spoken about, it just won't be in the game foul community. You know, we have friends like Trent Luce that have been talking about the severity of this for years and years. Trent's been at this a long time, and, you know, that's where all this is going. I just heard something from a friend of mine the other day about trapping. Now they're starting to get into, like, some things they want to start doing in New York against trapping and foothold traps they want to get rid of. So, you know, this, again, all of this should be a concern. The biggest concern is what happened to our property rights. That's my biggest concern out of all this, because if somebody can come in and start doing this, you know, with animals, where does it end? Where does this end? Because there's this overreach that is just out of this world, you know, and we do have property rights and they're being violated, Barton. And that's the biggest concern is, you know, that, something puts a stop to all of this, or at least, you know, backs it up and gets people to think with some type of common sense.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I have a lot of issues with the animal rights organizations, but I really have two big ones that I think are negatively shaping our society. And we touched on this a little bit one time, that the animal rights people are so eager to tell people how they should and shouldn't raise animals and what respect towards animals is. But what animals are they talking about? Dogs, cats, you know, those are really the only animals that they have any firsthand knowledge with. You're not talking about livestock. They, you know, we're out here teaching our kids how to respect animals that they actually come into contact with every day. And one of the big issues is that they say that you can't respect animals and harvest them. And I'm here to tell you, if you've never harvested an animal through hunting, slaughter, you do not respect life and the consequences that come with taking a life until you have harvested an animal.
That's
and
totally
these
right.
Same people are, these same people are also teaching their kids, and it's blatantly obvious in the way that they talk about animal owners, the way that they talk in their interviews. They're also teaching their kids how to have no respect for their fellow man.
That's right.
When you mix those two things together, a lack of respect for life and a lack of respect for your fellow man, why do you think murder rates have gone as high as they have? The mass shootings, the school shootings, those aren't country kids that came from a farm.
No.
They are city kids, and they don't understand these key values in life that they would have learned on a farm.
Well, I can tell you this much, Barton, from growing up on a working farm, when you are eating, raising the animals that you're eating, I don't know if there can be better care given, unless you're just you're a complete lunatic. A working farm, you know, is something that, you know, we're a dying breed. And people would love to commercialize everything. You know, the call out or like your mom and pop stores or your local business. Now you can buy online, you can do this. People are not seeing that this really hurts our local economy. It, you know,
absolutely.
And they just have no idea, how serious the consequences are when people can, you know, turn farmers into felons. And, or because they have no education to it and they have a lot of power. And it's something that we were just talking just earlier on here. I feel very humbled and I'm feel very grateful that I'm on the other side of things and we're able to keep going forward with education, bringing people together, Barton, from all different aspects of farming. And, you know, I just, again, it is a good feeling to know that you're going to be about something that brings positive change, better lives, human lives, I'm talking about, you know, and I'm just glad people like yourself are getting on board and we can take these things to another level, Barton.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm just happy to do my part like we've talked extensively about.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to do everything. You just do what you can and whatever part that may be. And I think that we're starting to see the snowball at the top of the hill starting to get bigger and bigger.
Absolutely. I know, and also I've been encouraging people. When you hear these podcasts, I know people are busy, and I get all that. Like I've said from the beginning when this happened to my wife and I 4 years ago, we're not going to stop. I don't know a man in history that has went to federal prison over a chicken conspiracy. It hopefully will not happen to another person. And when you hear these podcasts, you know, even people like yourself, Barton, you know, you've taken a lot of time out and have been very helpful with me with, you know, technical things and all different types of little things. But what people need to know when they hear these podcasts is that, you know, we're sacrificing our time and we're doing it for a cause that we believe in, and we obviously know other people believe in or they wouldn't be listening. So I would just ask anybody that can just share a podcast or just, you know, get out there that, you know, there's change coming, and the more that get involved and work together, the faster it'll get here.
Yeah. And, you know, you never know who hears this information and it just clicks. And that's the person that we needed to get on board. And
yeah.
The more that we have these conversations and that we get other people in on these conversations, I was talking to somebody the other day. I said, I'm glad that we were able to have this conversation. And they said, these conversations are so important because two heads are better than one, three heads are better than two, four heads are better than three, and so on and so forth. And that can't be more true.
Yeah.
The more people that start having these conversations, you're going to hit the right idea and the right person, and big things are going to happen. And
yes.
You've already started this. It can only get bigger. And it's an uphill battle. And the more education that we can get out there in front of the right people, the easier that this trip will be.
I completely agree, Barton. I just want to leave you with this one thing that is really prevalent to all that we're doing, you're doing, many others. And as you know, there's many people behind the scenes in all this.
Absolutely.
When they had first come for my birds, when they first took them, and I had retained a lawyer up here that I think the whole thing just overwhelmed the heck out of the guy. And he was looking for me to, you know, he wanted to do a plea deal, I guess, with the government. That was the first and only one, I believe. And what he said, if you sign those birds over, they will make this very easy for you. Like it never happened. Basically is how I took it from what he was saying. And here were my comments. And this is my attitude going forward. Tommy Carano does not know what easy is. We will keep at it. I would never sign my birds over that I, you know, dedicate so much of my time. And as you know, as a breeder, There's time taken away from family. There's just so much involved. And I don't know what easy is. And the obstacles and the things that we have, you know, coming at us, you know, you use the word an uphill battle, you know, so be it. But at the end of the day, here's the thing. I sleep well at night. My birds are back on my farm. And obviously, I said and did something right.
That's right. Well, I'm glad that I said that. An easy battle, that's not what this is all about. You're right.
No, it's not.
That would take the...
I was going to say take the fun out of it, but...
that would take the fun out of it, wouldn't it? I told you not too long ago, this is fun to me. This is, it's not like a good day of fishing type of fun, but a...
Right.
Like when you really enjoy what you're doing, and it's rewarding. It feels like there's something being done, and that's a good feeling to have. So when you say that you found your purpose, I understand what you're saying, because I feel that in this as well, and I'm coming in now, and I feel the same way that you do. I feel like this is a calling, and we're going to really be able to do something.
That's right. It's like turning a light bulb on in a dark room. And the only way that really happens is you got to get, you know, to the other side. And for me, you know, it took the bus ride, you know, the federal prison deal and all that shenanigans. And now we're on the other side of all this. And now, you know, now it's where things are getting better. And I just will tell you, Barton, to have, you know, my birds back, what was left of them, and being able to be out here, out on the farm with the birds every day again, just brings a lot of joy. Honestly, I would not have changed one thing that happened to me from back in May 23rd, 2017. Wouldn't have changed one thing. And I am glad that I did not get the full sentence, which would have almost been like 5 years, which I was going to do. Don't make any bones of it. I told them right there, whatever I would have to do would need to be done, because in federal situations, when you take a plea or you do anything else, you would never be able to have the birds again. So, you know, that was a decision I made before I went into that sentencing. I'm just saying all that to say that, you know, we're on to something, and I do believe good things will come out of it. So, you know, we just got to keep our heads up and, you know, keep supporting the next man. You know, we got to think about our GBAs and other organizations that are trying to hold it together, because none of this stuff is easy for anyone. So,
I tell you what, stay game and don't be a dunghill.
That's it, Barton.
That's the takeaway, isn't it?
That's the truth of the whole matter.
All right, well, we'll wrap this up, and I'm looking forward to sitting down with you and Anthony next week.
Yes, next week, yes. Yep. It's going to be huge, and it's going to be a lot of educating, and Anthony will have a lot to bring to the table. He's one of the few that really, you know, it was either put up or shut up, and Anthony sure put up, flew to New York, came to the trial, even as somebody that, you know, sat on that stand, you know, and saw the jury that I was dealing with. So we'll have a great sit down next week, Barton. And I enjoyed this talk with you as well, too. So
yeah, I did too. You have a good rest of the day.
Thank you, Barton.